overcoming the hurdles of life, breaking the power of the past. Tonight's message is about reality, not denial and not illusion, trying to overcome the hurdles of life. When we talk about overcoming the hurdles of life, we need to learn how, I believe, to break the power of the past. It is God's choice to birth us into a particular family, into a particular place. We have no choice about that. To that particular moment in history when we're born. That's God's business. We must then, after we understand that it's all about God, who births us into a certain family, who births us into a certain particular area, a particular moment in history, we must, I think, then be aware of the fact that we have a concern, or because a certain amount of emotional baggage comes with every single one of us. In our journey through life, we find this emotional baggage. Now, I will be honest. For some of us, the load is minimal. It's not real big. But for others, it has turned out to be a heavy, heavy load to carry. True spirituality frees us to live joyfully in the future. It requires going back in order to go forward. Now, this takes us to the very heart of spirituality and discipleship in the family of God. All of us have faced destructive, sinful patterns. All of us have come, no doubt, from families who have faced destructive, sinful patterns. Some of us have been fortunate enough to come from families not so much destructive, sinful patterns. Many of you have parents who are saved, grandparents who are saved, and you're really a fortunate person. But some of us in this room have come from families with destructive, sinful patterns of behavior. Now, that's very important because all of us need to know something. We can break free from the destructive, sinful patterns of behavior in our past to live in the life that God has chosen for us to live. So oftentimes, people will say to me, "Well, Pastor, you got her made. I heard you preach, and you said you came from a mom and dad who were in church your whole life." And I say, "That's right. I've known nothing else but church. That's all I've ever known." I'm sure Jamie is probably that same way, or pretty close to that. Ed, about the same way. Gino Sharp, about the same way. Lynette, the same way. Bill Brown, about the same way. And I could go on and on. Nora Petrie, about the same way. We have come through families that have always been in church or always been proclaiming salvation and so on. And so people have said to me, "Well, Pastor, you have it made. You come from a family that's all Christian. Even your grandparents, I've heard you talk about your grandparents, and even they were saved." Not so in my life, and so my life is a little different than yours. And what they're saying is they come along with a lot more baggage than I have. However, let me announce to you tonight that this church and this preaching ought to be such that we find a way, because we can break free from destructive, sinful patterns of our past, to live the life of God that God intends for us to live. Now, write this down. The family. This is Roman numeral number one. The family. When God, in the Word of God, uses the word family, it refers to our entire extended family over perhaps maybe three or four generations. While we are affected by powerful external events and even circumstances, and all of us are, through our earthly lives, our families, now listen closely, our families are the most powerful group in which we ever, or to which we ever belong. Our families is a very, very powerful group. Even those who leave home early, They say, I'm going to leave home early because I am determined to break away from this family experience. Now, you've heard people talk just like that. I'm going to get out of this house because this house is polluted. I don't want to be like my dad. I don't want to be like my mom. Be careful about that because everybody will become exactly like their emotional focus. And if you focus entirely on what you don't want to become, you will become exactly that. And how many people do we know who have said, well, I said to myself when I was younger, I would never be like my aunt, or I would never be like my grandmother, or I would never be like my dad. But look at me, I'm just like them. You know why? Because we become exactly like our emotional focus. And ladies and gentlemen, if we ever change that, here's how we change that. We do not focus on what we don't want to be. We focus on what we want to be in God, and focus on God, and let that be our focus, and let that be our mainstay, and we'll find ourselves becoming more like what Christ wants us to become. So the family, now we're talking about the family. It's the most powerful group to which we ever belong. But there's a lot who want to leave home early. I'm 16, I'm going to leave. I'm 18, I'm going to leave. I'm going to break that style of life. From my family, that history. But soon they find their family's way of doing things, they follow just like they've always done it, just like their family. What's the word generation? Let's talk about the word generation. That word generation, what happens in one generation? Now follow me, often repeats itself in the next generation. I've been pastoring a long time. And I've heard people talk a long time about, oh, I don't want this or I want this. What generally happens in one generation usually happens in the next generation. Everybody with me so far? Patterns of behavior, for example, such as divorce. If divorce is starting in one family, you'll find divorce in the next generation. Alcoholism, addictive behavior, sexual abuse, poor marriages, a child running off, you'll find that, oh, my son left and when he was 15. And then when that son gets married and lives, one of his kids, they'll run off and get married when they're 15, 16, 17. It goes from one generation right to the next generation. It just keeps repeating itself. Mistrust of authority, pregnancy out of wedlock. And maybe this mother got pregnant out of wedlock. And so then she got a husband and they lived together and had some kids. But guess what? Their kids do the same thing. They get married out of wedlock too. It is from one generation to the next. It just keeps going. I've been here 40 years. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. Inability to sustain stable relationships and so on. They're often repeated from one generation to another. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 34. And look, please, if you will, at verse 6 and 7, because God connected this reality to the very nature of who he is. Now follow me here. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Verse number 7, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Family patterns from the past are played out in the present. Now listen very closely. It is not possible to erase the negative effects of our history in our families. It's not possible to erase that stuff. The family history lives inside of us, especially in those who are trying today to hide it. Only the truth will set a person free. You will not be free from your family's past history unless the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing I know that can ever set a family free and change a family in this generation from repeating what happened in previous generations. Only the truth can set us free. And brethren, if we don't know the truth or don't want the truth or won't be around the truth, we'll not be set free either, and we'll repeat from generation to generation the same mistakes over and over and over again in our family situation. I'm talking about breaking the power of the past. Oh, overcoming the hurdles of life. I don't want to have the patterns that were in my family for the last two generations. I want to break that pattern somehow. I don't want to have that same pattern. I want to break the power of the past. I don't want the power of the past to conquer me and to come against me. No, sir. I want to hurdle over top of that and go on for Jesus Christ. Family patterns from the past are played out in the present. Don't forget that. Go to Matthew chapter 10, verse number 37. For this same reason, Jesus said something. Jesus knew our families were flawed. I know he knew that. And our relationships and our patterns of loving were broken due to sin. So here's what he said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. For he that loveth father or mother more than me, oh, this is strong language, is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Wow. Regardless of our culture, our country of origin, education, social class or age, the early messages we look at and we took in from our histories powerfully influence our present relationships in our family situation. In Genesis, the first book of the Bible, it relates how the truth that sins and blessings are passed from generation to generation. I think you need to know in our church here that we need to teach that blessings will pass from generation to generation, and so will sins and iniquities pass from generation to generation. That's how it works. And the Bible teaches us in the Old Testament that very truth. Now, first of all, if you will write down Roman numeral 2, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and let me bring something to your attention. Here's the second point. Now, my first point was just the family. The second point is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The blessings given to Abraham. Now, this is good. Isn't this the truth? The blessing that God gave to Abraham because of his obedience passed from generation to generation. Amen? The blessings passed from generation to generation. But at the same time, I observe another pattern in the Word of God, and that pattern of sin and brokenness, and that also was transmitted from generation to generation. Now, not only the blessings. Now, we all like the blessings being transported and transferred from generation to generation, but we also have to remember that our sins and iniquities will be passed from generation to generation. Sometimes we say, well, why are my kids like this? Because that's how you were. Well, why do they think like that? Because that's how you used to think. We pass that from generation to generation. What about a pattern of lying, for example, in the Bible? Abraham, did he not? He lied about Sarah. How many times did he lie about Sarah? Twice. Isaac and Rebecca. Their marriage was characterized by lies. Jacob lied to almost everybody. His name means deceiver. Thank you. His name, Jacob, means deceiver. He lied about everybody. But where to start? Papa Abraham. By the way, 10 of Jacob's children lied about Joseph's death. The pattern of lying. You say, why are my kids such liars? They got it from the family history. Come on, listen to me now and preach with me a little bit. We're going to learn a very valuable truth. What about favoritism? Was that passed along? Abraham favored Ishmael. Isaac favored Esau. Jacob favored Joseph and later Benjamin. You see how it passed right down? What about estranged brothers? I thought about this. Isaac and Ishmael, Abraham's sons, were cut off from one another. Jacob fled from his brother Esau, and they were separated for years. Joseph was cut off from all of his brethren for over a decade. Estranged brothers. What about poor marriages? In the Bible now, Abraham had a child out of wedlock with Hagar. Isaac had a terrible relationship with Rebecca. Jacob had two wives and two concubines. Do you see what I'm talking about? Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us that patterns of behavior will follow from one generation to the next. I have a problem here. I don't want to repeat. I don't want my children to repeat. I don't want my grandbabies to have to repeat. Am I with a bunch of Christians who feel about the same way? I know that everybody in this room when you were younger did some things you never should have done. And if we all knew it, we'd all be disappointed because we found out what you really were like. And some of that stuff has been transferred to your children. Because that's how it works. Now hold it. How can we break the cycle? The way to break the cycle of sin is one way. To accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I decided some years ago, bless God, I am going to break the cycle. Everybody here, somebody needs to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to break the cycle with my family. I'm not going to come, and I'm not going to be in and out of church. That's how my family used to do it. In and out of church, in and out of God, in one day and out the next. Fall on fire for God one day, about ready to quit everything the next. I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to break the cycle. I'm going to do something for God. Now listen. Then you are transferred. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I love this thought. I am then transferred to a new family. When I get saved, now listen, when you get saved, when I get saved, we all of a sudden are now at salvation. We are transferred to a new family. It's called the body of Christ. Now stop right there and think about this. However, almost everything I've learned about life, though, I learned from my original family. My sinful family. Rooted out these deeply ingrained ways of behavior. They're complex and difficult. My views of success, about authority, about sexuality, about race, about cultures, about marriage, about gender roles, how to express anger. You know how I learned all that stuff? From my original family. That's why people, when I act like my daddy, say, you act just like dad. That's where I learned it. That's where you learned it. Come on, amen. Now stay with me. Sometimes it's often very painful to address these issues, so we compartmentalize spirituality, and we compartmentalize spirituality away from the rest of life. But you cannot do that. You're not one life over here and then compartmentalize and put yourself over here. Now I'm spiritual. So on Sunday, I'm spiritual. And on Wednesday, I'm spiritual. But the rest of the time, I act like my original family. And I'm mean, and I'm hateful, and I'm sinful, and I do what I want to do. No, you cannot live like that. Now that you're saved and born again, you have a new daddy. You have now God the Father as your Father. You're different now. I get so upset when people say, well, but you can get it and then you can lose it, right? No, 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 no. I have a new daddy now. He's inside of me and he's changed my life. I don't act like my original family. I'm not like my original family. My original family was very sinful. Our lives may resemble, anybody ever seen a jack-in-the-box? I mean, we don't see much of those anymore, do we? What's a jack-in-the-box do? Well, you have to push it down first, right? And then you twist it and boop, it pops up. I think many times some of our lives resemble a jack-in-the-box. Although we may regularly stuff down our feelings from our childhood, they will often pop out in the present day that we live. It is against this backdrop that the glory and the power of the Lord Jesus often offers us some incredible hope. Now, I want you to know that we're struggling, and I see people every week of my life struggling with the original family. Sins of the past. Sins of mom and dad. Did you read that scripture? He had visited the sins of the moms and dads until the third and the fourth generation. You read it with me. That's a very true statement. Roman numeral 3. The great news of Jesus Christ. This great news is that your biological family of origin does not determine your future. You understand what I just said? It's simply this. Here's great news. Your biological family of origin does not determine your future. You know who determines that? God does. Whoo, I can be somebody else. I don't have to be like my family. If I came, now some of you have come from really clean, decent Christian people, and that's wonderful. But some of us who come into our building here have come from, detrimental families and way out of sorts, alcoholics, drunkards, dopers, shameful life. But I'm telling you what, those same people can be just like anyone else. Because you don't have to, because of your biological family of origin, does not have to determine your future. Because God does. What has gone before you is not your destiny. How many times have you heard people say, well, your daddy was a drunkard, you'll be a drunkard. That's not your destiny. Your daddy was a doper, he's in jail all the time, you'll be a doper in jail. Now, that's true a lot of times, isn't it? If a kid's daddy's in jail, a doper, he ends up being in jail as a doper. So oftentimes is the truth. If the daddy is in jail or has beat somebody up, he'll be beating somebody up. If he's an alcoholic, the kid will be an alcoholic. If he's obese and can't control his diet, his kids will be obese and can't control their diet. That's how it is. Because we're like our origin. But the great news is that your biological family of origin does not determine your future. God does. I've sat in my office over and over again and said, listen, break the chains. Break the chains of your sin. What are you talking about? I said, break the chains. Stand up someday, look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to be like God wants me to be. Determine what God wants and be like God wants you to be. You have a new daddy now. The most significant language, and I love this language, the most significant language in the New Testament for becoming a Christian is, now listen to this, adoption into the family of God. That's the most powerful language in the Word of God. I have been adopted. Now, go with me. It's not on the screen, but ladies, if you can find Romans 8:15, please, and Galatians 4:5. Just one right to the other. Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:5, and Ephesians 1:5. The great news of Jesus Christ. Look at this verse. I have been adopted. You see, when I got adopted to the family of God, it is a radical new beginning. Are you listening? It's a radical new beginning. It's not something you just decided to do to change the way you live. It's a radical new beginning. I got adopted into the family of God. Something happened marvelously to me. It changed me completely. I am a new creature. I don't even think about going back and maybe living in sin. Because my mind doesn't think like that now. My mind has been changed. I've been born again. I've been newborn. I am a child of God. My mind has been changed. I think differently. I act differently. I talk differently. Why? Because it wasn't something I just decided I would do some Sunday and feel better about myself. No, God saved me. He radically saved me. I am a new creature. So are you, if you're saved. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 5. It's a radical new beginning to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I've been adopted as a son of God. He's my father. He's my daddy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Let's talk about Paul just for a moment. The apostle used the image of Roman adoption, emphasizing we are now in a new and permanent relationship with a new father. our God, God becomes in this new family, my Father. Our debts, sins, are what? What happened to my sins? Give me a word. What happened to my sins? Nailed to the cross. Cleansed. Washed. Gone. I love the word canceled. I like the word canceled. East is from the west. Depths of the sea. Gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall sing eternally, praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E, God. Amen. Hey, they've been canceled. That's what I understand about this book. Been canceled. That means a lot to me. I don't have to live like the origin family. I'm in a new family. I have a new father. Radically been changed. We place our faith in Christ. We are spiritually reborn by the Holy Spirit into the family of Jesus Christ. We are transferred out of darkness in the kingdom of light. And Paul said, God becomes our Father. Sins are canceled. We're given a new name. I'm now a Christian. That's my new name. I have a new inheritance. I have freedom, hope, glory, the resources of heaven. I have new brothers and sisters. They're called other Christians. I have a whole new family. Come on, amen? Jesus' family, his mother, and brothers arrived at a home where he was teaching. Remember that in the Bible? Go with me to Mark chapter 3, 33, 34, and 35. Mark chapter 3. Jesus' mother and brothers arrived at a house where he was teaching, and they were wanting him to come out to go home with them. And Jesus replied to the crowd, and he answered them, saying, who is my mother? This is what Jesus said, or my brethren. Look at verse 34. And he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. Verse 35. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Powerful language. In the ancient world of Jesus, it was important to honor one's father and mother. And Jesus did that for his mother. He honored her at the cross. Remember that? He entrusted the care of his mother to John. Yet Jesus was very clear in calling people to a first loyalty of themselves to him, even over the biological mother and the daddy and the brothers. Go with me back again to Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. I want you to see this. Now, it's very important. He is very clear in calling people to a first loyalty to himself over their biological families. Here's what he said. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. That's strong language. Now, we try to dissect that and make it sound a little bit better so it's not so offensive, but it says it what it says. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's powerful language. You got yourself in a new family now. Discipleship. That's the next word we want to talk about in just a second. What is discipleship anyway? It's putting off of the sinful patterns. Discipleship is taking a group of people and going through the Word of God and teaching them how to put off sinful patterns and put on righteous patterns, godly patterns. Put off those sinful patterns and put off those habits of our biological families and become transformed to live as members of Christ's family in his new family with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us have terrible thought processes and patterns from our biological past. Our biological families. We don't think right. We must think the way God thinks and be brought into the kingdom the way God thinks and believes. Discipleship. The Christian life. God's intention is that we grow up into reborn men and women transformed by the indwelling presence of Christ. We honor our parents. You need to honor your parents. I believe that. I believe you ought to honor your parents. I believe you ought to honor your culture. I also believe you ought to honor your histories of your families. But you ought to obey God rather than men. I think you ought to honor family. I think you ought to honor mom and dad. I think you ought to honor your heritage. I think you ought to honor your history. But I think we need to obey God. Every disciple has to face the brokenness and sin of his or her family and their culture. By the way, those who said this, I'm not even sure who did, but those who cannot learn from the past are doomed to repeat the past. Those who do not learn from the past are doomed to repeat the past. Don't continue to follow the original biological past. You've got to come to the Lord Jesus. Now, perhaps your family defined, and I think Christians are just about as bad here. We don't define success the way God does. Our families define success by profession or by education or by money. I mean, you even in this crowd right here, we define success by how much money we have or how much education we have. And we know we do. We do it all the time. Well, how much education do you have? We won't hire anybody if they don't have an education. No. That's not success. But that's what we do. We got hoodwinked into all that thinking. We define success, you know as well as I do, by profession, by education, or by money. But in God's family, success is defined another way. In God's family, success is defined as being faithful to His purpose and plan for your life. That is success. Be successful by getting on His plan and His purpose for your life. Are you living His plan and are you living His purpose for your life? I don't care about the big house. I don't care about the big car. I don't care about all the money in the bank. That is not success. Success is, am I doing what God has planned for me to do, and am I becoming what God wants me to become? That's success. But we've been fooled by the world. It's hard to break the pattern. I want to break the pattern, preacher. I want to break the power of the past. The past has got me. I can't hurdle over it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can hurdle over it. Boy, it's tough. Yeah, it's tough, but you still can. You can. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. We are called to do something. Now, you have to read it yourself. We are called to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. It would change how we did a lot of things if we did that. But the Scripture says it. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 21. God declares that we are lovable. We are good enough in Christ. And the Son said unto His Father, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Verse 22. But the Father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Discipleship is working these truths into our everyday lives. You see, God's intention, I believe with all of my heart, is that our local church right here at Harvest Baptist Temple ought to be a place where slowly but surely we are reparented in doing life Christ's way. We have to reparent everybody. Because the old parenting was not honoring to God. So now we have to be reparented by God. We need to be training people how to live the life for the Lord Jesus. God intends that this new community of people is the place where we are set free. In this new community, our old Egyptian ways have got to go. Old Egyptian ways of living and relating are over. I've come into living for Christ. I'm born again, child of God. I am a Christian now. I'm no longer an Egyptian. I've got to break the past. I've got to hurdle the past. Some of us in this room have problems because we remember what we used to be. I've talked to tons of people who said, well, preacher, God could not ever use me because of what I used to do, how I used to be. No, when God comes in, he changes all that. And he can use you. There's people right here tonight that if we looked at what they did in their life and how they did it. Now listen, folks, some of us know because it was reported. But some of the stuff that people have done in this room, nobody knows because nobody reported it. But just because nobody reported it doesn't mean it's not as bad. I know some of our preacher friends, some of my preacher friends, were terrible men before they ever got saved, before they started preaching. Terrible men. If you knew their past history, you probably wouldn't want to listen to them because they were terrible men. What happened? God changed their family. He changed who their father was. But now you're no different here. The problem with some of us is that some of us have lived pretty good all of our life. We haven't gone into deep sin. Hold it, but stop right there a minute. We've all been sinners. Don't you kid me? Everybody in this room has been a sinner. We all have failed God. If that's not so, the word of God's not so. It says, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's not a single one of us that can take pride in how good we have been. None of us have been any good. There's no one that's good. No, not one, the scripture says. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. We all need to be reparented. Understand that God's the Father. I'll conclude. There are no perfect families. All families are broken and fallen. There aren't any without problems. None of us comes from perfect families. We don't have perfect parents. Lynette's are the closest you can come to, though. I'm kidding. Most parents did the best they could with what they had. Most parents, listen, most of you have said this to me, wish I'd had grandkids first. I don't know how many people have said that to me. Preacher, why did we have our grandbabies first? It's so much easier with grandkids than it is with kids. Isn't that what we say? You see, we all have to admit we're not perfect. No perfect parents. We all have done the best we could with what we brought into adulthood with us. It's likely that some of us and some of the things that did hurt us, such as criticism and rejection, were a result of what was handed down by families. I mean, I know I've hurt my own kids, my own grandkids, just like you've hurt your own kids and your by saying things you probably shouldn't have said, acting in ways you probably shouldn't have acted. And some of you young couples, you're going to do the same thing. Oh, how we need to be reparented by God. God, help us to learn. Help our church to learn. You see, one of the fears of bringing secret sins out into the light actually drives many people into what I call a life of illusion. I think a lot of Christian people are living a life of illusion. They don't want to admit they ever done anything really bad and wrong. So they try to hide that, and they live this illusion life. Oh, I'm just so good, and I love the Lord so much, and life is great, but they have underlying hidden problems that they've never dealt with. You've got to deal with those things. You must. Unhealed wounds, now get this, unhealed wounds open us up to habitual sin against God and other people. The great news is this, that in Christ Jesus we are adopted into a family, and we can emerge a freer, more whole, alive person, breaking the power of the past, jumping over that hurdle, and becoming a victorious Christian by giving ourselves totally to the Lord Jesus. Wow, what a thought tonight. Is there anything in your past that you just need to say to God, God, I need to give you that. I just got to get done with it. I got to overcome the hurdle of breaking the past. So many people have said to me, "Preacher, I just can't seem to break the past. I can't seem to break the memory of what I've done or what I've become or what I allowed myself to do." You've got to give that to God. Jump over the hurdle. Break the past. Break through the power of the past by hurdling over and trusting the Lord Jesus.